Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
By the way, man, this story's got more wheels than a over-the-road truck. So Texas and Oklahoma reportedly are headed to the SEC. Then comes word that KU and Iowa State are in talks with the Big Ten.
Yeah, the dominoes are starting to fall.
Right. This all started because Texas and Oklahoma reportedly have made a deal with the SEC. Then comes word that KU and Iowa State are talking to the Big Ten. Then comes word that K-State, Oklahoma State, and all the others are in talks with the Pac-12.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Which would put West Virginia in a really awkward position, being that they're on the East.
Does the conference have to vote yes or no to allow you in?
Yes.
How many people or teams?
If the Pac-12 were to absorb all of what is left of the Big 12 next week,
it'd be the Pac-30.
No, it'd be the Pac Pac-20 because West Virginia wouldn't come. I mean, their travel schedule already
but
sucks.
But it's possible that these conferences could say, look, we'll take Kansas, but we don't want Iowa.
Absolutely.
Or whoever.
Or Iowa State.
We don't want Iowa State.
Yeah. Or we'll take KU and K-State because they got a good rivalry.
Right.
But we don't want TCU. And we'll take Baylor just because they're a basketball
You keep your Horned Frogs over there.
Yeah,
we'll take the Jayhawk.
Yeah. You can do that. And we definitely don't want West Virginia because they're way over there on the East Coast.
Oh, to be a fly on the wall during those conversations today. It's musical chairs. You realize what's happening right now.
Well, everybody is in survival
mode. Bajillion-dollar musical chairs.
Yes, and every university is in survival mode. KU is shopping around looking for a place where they can land. You know, we're a great basketball team. We suck at football. Where can we play? But the word is that most of the teams are trying to move together. And the Pac-12 looks good for a lot of them.
You don't think one of those teams would cut the throat of the other if they knew there was one slot left and they could take it?
In a New York minute.
This is every man for himself.
Yeah, it is. Yep. So get ready for the death knell of the Big 12 sometime next week, I imagine. Cleveland's baseball team, the Indians, will no longer be known as the Indians. The Cleveland Indians announcing today that from here on, they will be known as the Guardians, the Cleveland Guardians. In addition to announcing the new moniker, Cleveland unveiled a new logo that it will wear once the name change is complete. After years of criticism and backlash over their name, including protesters setting up outside of Progressive Field, the club issued a statement in December of 2020 announcing it would begin the process of dropping the name Indians. Okay. Oh, here we go. Cleveland owner Paul Dolan says the team will continue to use the old nickname through this season, and the earliest that a new one would be implemented would be in 2022. Okay. All right. So the Cleveland Indians might want to get their gear while you still can because they will soon become the Cleveland Guardians. And I said to Dana off the air, I'll say it to you on, you know the Chiefs are in the sights of the next one.
We've been saying that for a while now. I don't necessarily disagree.
And don't tell me, well, it's named after Chief Roe Bartle. I understand that that is the argument that a lot of people make. It's named after Chief Roe Bartle. It's the Native American imagery that
symbolism
is going to be a problem.
Yes.
Anyway, all right. Story here from CBS News. A 14-year-old girl died after drowning at an Ohio water park this week. What is going on?
It has not been a good year. This is number four or five.
Just this summer. A 14-year-old girl died after drowning at an Ohio water park on Tuesday of this week, where she was underwater for about half an hour before she was found. The Montgomery County, Ohio coroner's office confirming that Makaria Jones, age 14, died Tuesday night. Her autopsy was conducted on Wednesday. Butler County dispatchers say they received reports at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday that a 14-year-old girl went into the water at Land of Illusions Amusement Park and never came up.
The sheriff came out today and said they are looking into potential regulatory violations at the water park. You have to wonder if a staffing issue could be to blame. The first thing I thought.
Why do you say that?
Because everyone is having such a hard time adequately staffing any entry-level summer-type job. I mean, you've heard about this. We have pools closed all over because we can't find lifeguards to staff them.
Right. And the one in KCK that was in the news a couple weeks ago, they're draining it. It will not open this summer. They said maybe in 2022. The one in KCK on Quindaro.
When it says regulatory violations, that says to me a couple of things. It's not going to be your chlorine level was off in the pool where she drowned, Scott. Regulatory violations. The sheriff says the office has received a wide range of complaints insinuating the park has violated various regulations, such as not having certified lifeguards, life vest rules not being enforced, and no rescue equipment available. Not that that would matter in this case. She was underwater 30 minutes. This is going to be no one saw she was struggling. No one saw she went under. And for 30 minutes?
How does no one see that at 5 o'clock in the afternoon at a water park in the summer?
Because drowning does not happen the way it does in the movies.
What do you mean?
It is silent.
Well, yeah.
You know, in the movies, it's like, oh my gosh, help, I'm drowning. That is not the way drowning happens. And I think if you have a very young staff or you are short-staffed and you're not paying attention, it happens very, very quickly.
576-7798, if you guys want to weigh in. The complaints at this water park included that there was a shortage of lifeguards.
Among or certified lifeguards.
Certified lifeguards, thank you.
And that's across the country, Scott. I'm not saying this is unique to this water park.
Well, there are a number of pools just in this area that have gone to staggered working hours or hours of operation because they don't have the lifeguard. Remember, there was a story out of Lawrence where some older woman joined the lifeguard team in Lawrence just so that they would have one more lifeguard because they were having trouble getting some.
She was like 65 and said, hey, I'll do it.
I'll do it. You need lifeguards? I'll do it. Apparently, we're having a shortage this year. I don't understand it. That was the cool job. I mean, when we were kids, if you were a lifeguard, automatic coolness. Automatic. But now you can't find it. Anyway, God bless this 14-year-old and her family. I can't even imagine. Cannot even imagine.
Emergency crews blamed the... Now, listen to this. This is where we have a problem. Emergency crews blamed the length of time that it took to locate the teen on the water, which was, quote, like a pond and not clear like a swimming pool.
Oh, really? 576-7798, 576-7798. She's Dana Wright. That guy over there is Grant Miller. I'm Scott Parks here on KMBZ. swing my heart across the line in my face. All right, welcome back. We seem to be bouncing between two topics. We were talking about the sad story out of Ohio, the 14-year-old who died at the water park, was underwater for 30 minutes. And then everything keeps changing regarding the Big 12 today. Texas and Oklahoma will announce next week they're going to the SEC, it seems. KU and Iowa State apparently are having quiet conversations with the Big 10 about maybe joining them. The entire Big, what is going to be left of the Big 12 is apparently having calls about joining the Pac-12, which would potentially, if KU and Iowa State were to stay with the Big 12 and go to the Pac-12, if that merger occurred, would bring the Pac-12 to the Pac-20.
But go over what somebody on the text line said, which is the sole reason everyone listening should care about this.
And the text line, of course, was filled with, ha-ha, screw KU, and, you know, Mizzou fans who are just having some fun, I think. That notwithstanding, great point on the text line. And I hadn't even thought about this. I don't know how it slipped my mind. Think about the economic hit that the downfall of the Big 12 would have on Kansas City without the Big 12 tournaments every single year.
So let me look at the annual. This was from 2018. The Big 12 tournament just in 2018 delivered a $14.2 million impact to Kansas City. Here's who I want to hear from. Anyone in Power and Light that owns a bar, anyone that, I mean, this is, you are right, a huge issue, a painful economic hit if we lose that tournament.
And because
hotels, Scott, I mean, you know, those Iowa State fans, they're crazy.
Yeah, they are. They travel. And think about this. Let's say, for example, that, you know, KU were to join the Big Ten. This would be the second farthest west city in the Big Ten, so they're not going to have their tournaments here. And it would be the farthest east if KU was to join the Pac-12, second only to Iowa State. So can you imagine all the California teams and Oregon's and the Washington teams saying, oh, yeah, let's go have our tournament in Kansas City, half a country away. They're not going to do it. Be careful what some of you wish for. You may end up getting it. Because it looks like the Big 12 is in big trouble. Tom in Lee's Summit. Hello, Tom.
Hi, Scott, Dana. Hi. I want to start off by saying I am a Mizzou fan, but I have a different take on this. I fully support KU going to the Big Ten because all the Big Ten schools have wrestling, and Kansas would be forced to expand their athletic department to include wrestling that they haven't had since the late 60s or early 70s.
Would they or would they just not compete in wrestling? Because there are schools, let me give you another example, Tom, who have swim and dive programs. I believe Kansas has a women's program, but not a men's program.
I don't know the Big Ten requirements, but I know all of the current Big Ten schools have wrestling, and very good ones, too.
Yeah, oh, sure. Nebraska is one of them, isn't it, Tom?
Yes.
Mizzou has a wrestling team, and they actually compete in the Big 12, if I'm not mistaken, because there isn't enough competition in the Southeast Conference, right?
There is no competition in the Southeast, mm-hmm. and Mizzou's wrestling team has been a part of the MAC since they left the Big 12, and they are that and becoming an associate member of the Big 12 in wrestling for next year, which now may not happen.
Yeah. Do appreciate it, Tom. Thank you for the call and getting us started. 576-7798.
I tweet the mayor on this.
It really is, and I get it. You know, everybody's got their loyalties to that school or this school, whether you win or didn't go, it doesn't matter. People cheer for you. And I think it's easy to say, ha, 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 KU, suck it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But if the Big 12 ceases to exist, so does a huge influx of cash into this city every single spring.
And I look forward to that tournament every year.
Every March, downtown is packed. And if the Big 12 were to see, and
I mean,
I'm
Scott,
not saying
think about the college basketball experience. Yikes.
Right next to an arena that never has any college basketball in
Yikes.
It.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not to say it wouldn't still continue to thrive, but you know when they get a lot of people to go through the college basketball experience? In March.
Yeah.
During a 5-day period in March when people come into town and they've got a little bit of downtime and have some time and money to kill. 576-7798. Can we get a quick background, says 4809. Can we get a quick background on how these conferences work and why a college would want to switch? Ka and Ching. It's all about the money. Nebraska left the Big 12 to go to the Big 10 for money. Missouri left to the SEC for football money. I wish Nebraska had never left the Big 12, because ever since they went to the Big 10, they sucked. Josh in Gardner. Hello, Josh.
Hey, you kind of hit it on the head there just a second ago. I know if anybody is sending a text, and I'm not even a KU fan, but if they're sending a text and saying, hey, suck at KU, KU would get about a $28 million a year raise if they went to the Big 10, just on revenue sharing alone.
Oh, really?
Yes. The value of KU, strangely enough, like if you compare KU to West Virginia, West Virginia has a much better football program, even historically and currently, and KU is still roughly substantially more valuable to advertisers, to power conferences, than a school like West Virginia, whose half their population can barely read. So that is...
Wow!
Oh,
no, I'm so serious. You can go to Forbes, you can go to Wall Street Journal. They've got all these public like values of college football programs, and it's there. That's the whole reason why Texas and Oklahoma are leaving, because they're the only two schools that are in the top 25 with an overall value, and that's what you have to sell to negotiate TV contracts. It's the reason there's ESPN Plus for Big 12 games. That's the only major conference that has that. It's because there's just not money and there's not eyeballs in this part of the country that make it viable to advertise.
You're right about that. There is not a Big 12 network, but there is an SEC network and there is a Big 10 network, and they draw millions on revenue.
So KUSports.com listed this overnight. A guy named Matt Tate says there are five possibilities, as I see it, right? Five possibilities. They could move to the ACC.
Who? KU?
Yep. Move to the Big Ten. Be a power player in trying somehow to keep the Big 12 together. Move to the Pac-12 or move to a basketball conference. Join the Big East and team up with Villanova, Creighton, UConn, Georgetown, Butler, and others, and then allow your football program to play as a pseudo-independent.
That seems highly unattractive. Oh, we're going to be like the Notre Dame of basketball programs? Okay.
Because Notre Dame does all of its own stuff, right?
Mostly, but they do play basketball in the ACC. 576-7798.
This ship is sinking, and I think we're getting off.
576-7798. 576-7798. Quick break for the news and more of Dana and Parks in just a moment here on KMBZ.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Dana asked a really good question. How is it that Kansas City always ended up with the Big 12 tournament?
There were a couple of years that it went south.
It did. It went to, I believe, San Antonio.
Texas was one, Oklahoma.
I distinctly remember going to a Big 12 tournament in Oklahoma City.
But we always have it. And so one of the questions I asked off the air was, why did we always have it? We don't even have a school here, but we always got the Big 12 tournament. And if you were a Texas school or a other member of the big whatever we are, I'm sure they were like, why is this always in Kansas City? Why doesn't it rotate?
I think I said San Antonio. I meant to say Dallas. Dallas got it. And Dallas, it was thought for a while, Dallas was going to take it.
I know. Who decides?
Well, the Big 12 Conference does. I don't know if the member schools vote on that or not.
Well, I was going to say, that makes no sense, because then every member school would vote on their own town to have
it. Yeah, but you, I mean, where's K-State going to want to play? Yeah, it's going to be Kansas City or Oklahoma City.
Sorry, Manhattan.
Yeah. I mean, the town's just not big enough. Iowa State, where are they?
But my point is, if we go into a new conference, if Kansas City loses the Big 12 tournament, $10 to $15 million a year, think of all the bars, restaurants, hotels, yeah. Uber, just...
It's huge. It's
crap that people buy when they come into town.
Right.
I mean, we ought to call someone from Rally House, honestly. Think of all the money that they make on that corner store in Rally House for the thousands of basketball fans that come down there for the tournament, the basketball experience. They have all the street vendors and entertainment. If that all goes away and we join another conference, they're not going to want us to host the tournament.
No. If
we'll be last in line to ever get it again.
If the Big 12 merges, and there is some talk of this, if the Big 12, and they were talking with the Pac-12 last night, in a conference call, apparently, Oklahoma and Texas did not join that call, if that tells you anything, from what I was just reading. If
you can go your own way.
I'm going to go my own way. If what is left of the Big 12 after next week were to join with the Pac-12, why would – it would never come to Kansas City.
It would never come here.
I mean, think about this. Other than Iowa State, which is, you know, up in Ames, but Kansas City would be east of every member school except one, and that would be Iowa State.
Who else is in that mix?
What mix? You mean the Big 12 teams that would go over? Oklahoma State, TCU, Baylor.
Who else is already in that mix? Who are the cities that would host it? Which teams?
Are you talking about the Pac-12?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be L.A., San Francisco,
yeah, we're
Seattle.
Never getting the tournament again. That's why I asked. L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, they don't even know who we are.
I mean, you.
Yeah. They're like, you want us to go where? I mean, you know those. And I'm not saying all West Coast people are snobs, but there are going to be a whole lot of people over there with a whole lot of power and a whole lot of money that think we are flyover country. That is a fact. It's the way it goes.
It would be over.
You want us to go where?
I'm telling you, be careful what we wish for.
We didn't do this.
I understand. I just don't see how the Big 12 survives. You lose Texas and Oklahoma. All right, you lose two of your current top 25 after last season, top 25 football programs. The only ones left would be Oklahoma State and Iowa State. So you have two top 25 football programs, and your other two just left and joined the SEC, which has God knows how many. Who are you going to get to join the Big 12? No powerhouse. Maybe you could convince Nebraska to come back.
There are currently 14 teams in the SEC. This move would take it to 16.
Correct. And I think there are 14 teams in the Big 10 right now.
God.
And they have an East and West division.
Can't we just keep things the way they are?
Big 12 would be lucky to have a division.
Oh, it'll collapse.
Yeah, Las Vegas, somebody says, hosts the Pac-12 tournament every year. Okay, I was unaware of that, if that's true.
Oh.
I was unaware.
That wouldn't be so bad.
Says the gambling problem
hit
person.
Hit me!
Come on! Anyway, all right, so there's that. Bad news for the Big 12, okay? St. Louis, if you heard in the news at the bottom of the hour, we'll just touch on this briefly as we're coming up on Festivus Friday here in a few minutes anyhow. St. Louis City and St. Louis County have ordered a mask mandate starting on Monday. There is some speculation that Kansas City is next. Let me read this story here from Fox 2 out of St. Louis. St. Louis City and County will require masks to be worn in indoor public places and on public transportation starting Monday. The new health order requires everyone over the age of 5, including those who are vaccinated, to wear a mask. Wearing masks outdoors, especially in group settings, is simply being strongly encouraged.
Your Kansas City mayor just released a statement.
Oh.
Since the beginning of the pandemic, I have been proud of Kansas City's decisive leadership, which saved lives, and Kansas City's government will continue to act in the best interest of health and safety for our community. I am in regular communication with my friends in St. Louis, as well as our local health leaders, as we monitor the spread of COVID-19 in Missouri, particularly the Delta variant. As we have done over the past year, I will continue to collaborate with our health leaders on steps forward. Still, the best way to save lives and beat the pandemic once and for all continues to be through vaccination. Please, please take the vaccine if you haven't yet. That was within the last half an hour from Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas.
Okay.
It's coming. And we're kidding ourselves. I'm going to throw another small cup of gasoline on this fire. You're nuts if you think the school year is going to look like you thought it was going to look 3 months ago.
I hope you're wrong.
I'm calling it right now.
Do you remember I said earlier this week on the program that it was simply a matter of time before people who were not vaccinated started getting, and I didn't think physically attacked, but verbally attacked? Strangely, I was correct. And strangely, it came from the governor of Alabama, which has a vaccinated population of 33%, lowest in the country. Alabama's Republican governor, Kay Ivey, called out the, quote, unvaccinated folks. And I'm going to quote from the governor here. This is the governor of Alabama, Kay Ivey. Folks who are supposed to have common sense, but this is a direct quote, but it is time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks. Oh. It is the unvaccinated folks that are letting us down. She went on to say that the unvaccinated are, quote, choosing a horrible lifestyle of self-inflicted pain. Asked by reporters Thursday about plans to issue a mask mandate, the governor of Alabama, Kay Ivey, replied the new cases of COVID the new cases of COVID are because of unvaccinated folks. She loves that word, folks. Almost 100% of the new hospitalizations are with unvaccinated folks. And the deaths are certainly occurring with unvaccinated folks.
It was a Birmingham doctor, by the way. Brittany Cobia, who recently shared on Facebook that recently some of her patients infected with a deadly disease have begged her for the vaccine. One of the last things they do before they're intubated is beg me for the shot, Cobia wrote. I hold their hand and tell them I am sorry. It is too late.
I saw that story yesterday. It was a tearjerker.
But for the Republican governor of Alabama to say, when they asked her, what's it going to take? You can hear the frustration. If you don't even need to read the between lines. I don't know. You tell me. Folks are supposed to have common sense. It is time to start blaming the unvaccinated. Woo! You go, Kay Ivey.
I knew.
Damn!
Yeah. She's tough.
She kind of reminds me of Ann Richards or Richardson, Texas.
It was Ann Richards.
Kind of reminds me of Ann Richards a little.
Alabama has received billions in federal relief funds from the stimulus package passed by Congress. The state has offered some small incentives to get vaccinated, including two laps around the Talladega Superspeedway. But unlike other states, Alabama has not used the federal relief money for an incentive program, scholarships, or lotteries.
Is it true that 900 people in Missouri are eligible for that possible $10,000 bad math lottery prize?
I didn't see that number.
I read that yesterday. I swear it's 900. I'll look it up. It's a whole lot of people. And now there's a fight. I saw this on a map that Mahoney posted over at Channel 9. Now there's I don't want to say a fight, but questions are being raised. If you are in a more rural area of Missouri, are your odds better at winning that $10,000 than some of the more populated areas? And he has a story on that coming up later.
576-7798. We got Festivus Friday coming up at 5 o'clock, but let me just read this quote again very quickly from the governor of Alabama, Republican Kay Ivey. Folks are supposed to have common sense, but it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks. That is a direct quote from the governor of Alabama, 576-7798. Early enough this morning, you probably got to see the opening ceremonies at the Olympics.
How was it?
Weird.
Nobody in the stands.
Well, I felt bad. No, there was nobody in the stands. And, you know, they had them come in. Everybody had to wear masks. And, you know, normally it would be like, and Uganda. And somebody would be at the front with the flag. They'd all be wearing their cool little opening ceremony uniform. And there would be like 30 of them behind them or whatever. Well, the nations were severely limited on the number of people that could walk, the number of athletes that could walk.
I feel so bad for the athletes.
So what they did on NBC this morning was, because it took the place basically of the Today Show, was the Olympic coverage. And so, you know, so-and-so from would announce, and here comes Switzerland. And here comes a guy with the Swiss flag and everything. And the athletes are kind of putting their fists up in the air. Yeah. And it would tell you in a little box off to the side, Switzerland, blah, blah, blah. Athletes at Olympics, you know, 25. Well, there'd be five of them walking. Oh. I felt so bad when I heard the announcers go, and now Samoa. And there was one. The guy carrying the flag.
Oh.
And because they only had eight athletes. Samoa only got eight athletes for the Olympics. But the stadium announcer he would pronounce the name of the country in English and then in Japanese.
Yeah.
So you would just hear Samoa. Samoa.
Oh no.
Because it's the same name.
Just one guy.
When there was one guy just carrying the Samoan flag, and then go, Samoa's Olympic delegation includes eight people this year. But I just loved the stadium announcer, Samoa! Samoa!
There is a Facebook post today that is about to go viral, and a guy named Sean Codger wrote this, and it's a photo of an Olympic, probably triathlete or runner. There are a couple of photos of the sand volleyball players, but then there are photos of male athletes next to the female athletes wearing full-length, long spandex as they compete. The men's gymnastics competitors wear long pants. Yeah. And I'm just going to read this because you know this controversy has erupted over why do the women's butts have to be hanging out in running and in, you know, sand volleyball. This is what Sean writes. I assume he's male. I need someone to explain human physiology to me. Why is it that women can only perform their best athletic feats darn near naked, while men can break world records practically dressed in a suit of armor? From a layperson's perspective, it would seem to me that all athletes would do better with most of their blank cheeks inside their designated uniform. I don't know about y'all, but pulling my shorts all the way out of my, you know what, every three steps tends to reduce my best time doing anything. Heck, just for the sake of cost, it would seem cheaper to supply women volleyball players with adult-sized shorts rather than refill the sand pit each morning, because we all know where the sand ends up. Of course, I suspect that these wardrobe decisions are made with an eye toward enticing men into watching women's sports. But now that we have the internet, how's that supposed to work? A man is just going to watch 3 hours of a women's volleyball match just to see the occasional cheek slip? Seriously, how is a woman running faster than you can ride a bike or skate not interesting enough on its own? How is a woman using a flimsy pole to vault herself a height equal to the roof of your house not worth a peek on its own, even if you don't get to see her fallopian tubes in the process?
It's funny you read that story, because the one I'm holding in my hand is very similar. It's from Nexstar, which is a media company, owns like Fox 4, for example. Team Deutschland is taking a stand. Germany's female gymnasts have debuted new competition uniforms ahead of their first event at the Olympics, designed to fight back against what the German Gymnastics Federation previously called sexualization in gymnastics. The team, which formerly wore more common leotards at previous games, will now be decked out in unitards that cover their legs and thighs, as evidenced by photos of the team at a podium training earlier this week. "How do you like our new outfit?" asked Olympian Sarah Voss in an Instagram post showing Voss and teammates Elizabeth Seitz and several others in their uniforms. Each of the women, too, proudly share photos of the new unitard to their accounts.
Good.
They will not be performing in the leotard. They will be performing in the unitard.
I don't need to see their butt cheeks, and they are fine. Let's be serious and clear. Those women are athletes.
We will do a quick check of the news. Then it is time for Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances, ladies and gentlemen. We've just cleared the line, so get in early. 576-7798. 576-7798. Festivus Friday, brought to you by Michelob Ultra, is next on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com. Oh,
oh, oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.